Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, New York City's independent theater podcast. As independent theater artists, we often have to juggle a lot of different responsibilities. Day job, creative life, social life, family life. Wheelhouse Theater Company's new production of playwright Lawrence Dial's Danny, Chris, Donna, Veronica, currently playing at the 4th Street Theater, confronts the reality of being not necessarily an artist, but simply being a person when the complication of adding a child to your life comes into the mix. I sat down with director Jeff Weiss and fellow Wheelhouse Company member David Kenner after a recent performance. Take a listen.
I like to start with everyone's name on the mic. Yeah, oh, it's all record. It's all, this is very important, indie theater archive record. Gentlemen, your names on the mic, if you would. I have
Jeff Wise.
And
David Kenner.
And you are the gentleman behind Wheelhouse Theater?
We are two out of the three.
Okay, so who's the third?
His name is Matt Harrington, and he's currently doing the national tour of Matilda.
That's a really good reason to not be at the 4th Street Theater.
Yes.
Hopefully he's getting to see the show at some point, though, maybe?
Yeah, no, he helped create the show, and he helped put it together. He left on the 16th, so
cool,
he was
cool.
Here for opening, and then we never saw him again.
And Jeff, you
directed it.
And Matt, you...
Was it my David?
Matt's David,
not
oh
here.
My God.
Don't worry
Sorry,
about it.
Sorry, see, I'm getting...
And there's three of us. And no, I kind of helped oversee the show. Directing is in the room the whole time and just production stuff.
We should probably say what the show is, but I'm going to get the names out of order, so somebody else say it.
Danny, Chris, Donna, Veronica.
And so I always like to start the podcast, actually. I love it. It's such a great name.
it's a good name.
There's a reason for it.
Oh, there's a very good reason for it. I always like to start the podcast with asking people, like, what you tell the people on the street the show is about. Because, I don't know, like, I want to help to promote your show. Like, what is the pitch?
The elevator
when you,
pitch?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
When you meet people, here's the show.
Dave, you got an elevator pitch?
Sure. I mean, I think it's about...
Elevator pitch.
Elevator, so it's a short one?
It's a short one.
I think it's about...
6 floors, that's all you got.
Two couples with kids, and one person from each of those couples dealing with what parenthood is and what their lives mean because they have kids. What are they doing? Is it enough to be just a parent? Or is there something else that they should be doing, could be doing, other than just being parents?
I don't think it's a spoiler to say, like, I really appreciated the fact that the play, I don't think, really comes down with an answer to any of those questions, which I was really happy about.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I was kind of afraid that's where we were going.
Yeah.
But I imagine that given, I mean, I'm not, I can't, don't know you gentlemen. I only met you before, just before the show and just now. You look about my age, and I know that I'm in this world, or about to enter into this world, personally. it hasn't happened yet, but
okay.
the discussions are underway.
Okay.
So
okay.
I imagine that this has got to be some pretty difficult kind of material to grapple with, not just in, you know, how do we put this on stage, just the typical theatrical, what are we doing here sort of questions, but also... Is it a little too close to home for some people? Like, how did this go with you guys?
All right, yeah, we'll be there in a sec.
Post-show drinks are very important.
That was a post-show drink.
I'm not going to keep you long.
No. We're happy to be here. I think it was a heavy room for a little while. You know, I have three children of my own, and the cast members... one of them is currently trying to have a child, so in the similar position as maybe you are or about to be, and three of them desperately want children and don't have them yet. And it's you know, there's some similar things in this, you know, about there's themes in this play about sort of coming up against unrealized dreams, which I think is a universal theme for most people. It can be rather heavy. And if you have ever dabbled with a career in the arts, you know that that's a very real thing. You know, obviously there's not a lot of money in the arts for most people that are in it.
And we're getting up to that time when, like, you're really starting to...
Yes.
I think you really feel the wall.
Yeah.
Even
yes.
though there's no... I don't think there yes. ever really truly is a wall, personally. But I think mid-30s is definitely a place where...
Sure.
bam, it really can hit you.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it hits you. Because, well, it's just that time when you start feeling like, all right, you know, you're looking at life lived and you're looking at the rest of your life, and, you know, and there's a reason why they say, you know, mid-late 30s is a midlife crisis time. And, you know, it's about reassessing. And I think that, you know, these characters, as well as most people in that, at that stage in their life, they're saying, you know, am I going to have a family? Am I going to start that endeavor? You know, that's a lifelong endeavor. And so, it was a heavy room for a little while. But what I love about, you know, Ben and Susie and Rachel and Liz, the four actors in the show, is that they bring all that shit in the room. They bring it all in there. You know, they don't. You know, they use it and it feeds them. None of them have children, right? And that was a concern of ours as we were casting. We were like, you gonna get this? You gonna get this? You know. But I think that because I have three and I directed it, right, I was sort of at the helm of that, and I was able to sort of, I was like the dramaturg in many ways.
It could be very helpful.
It can be.
Lived experience for something like this, I think, is pretty important.
And
to
Larry,
have in that
too,
room.
Of course. Larry, the playwright, he has two children as well. So, you know, he understood quite a bit and was helping to sort of inform. But, I don't know where what was the question?
I mean, that was kind of it. Like, yeah. You know, just how this can be a pretty heavy thing to deal with.
Yeah.
But
here's another thing I want to say. This is what I was thinking about. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. One more thing I want to say is that I didn't realize how, I think, spot on this would kind of be. I'm not tooting my own horn, but at the top. Remember this, David. At the very top of the rehearsal process, before we even, I don't know, maybe before we even had cast this thing, we did a reading. There was a dry erase board, and I drew a picture, if you could imagine, of a triangle. And about the top, like, 1% of the triangle, I drew a line going across, sort of like the iceberg effect. And I said that this play exists on the page above that line, just the part you could see, like the tip of the iceberg. And that, but in order to execute this play, everybody has to get in touch with everything underneath it. That everything that happens in this play is so intensely between the lines on the page. Mm-hmm. And without really like digging into that and connecting to that stuff, I think that I don't know, this play would take off.
It would probably be pretty deadly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so kudos to the actors. That's what I mean for like digging into that shit in the rehearsal process. And
I was about
allowing the room to be heavy.
Glad you bring this up, because that really feeds into what was going to be my next question, which is like, how did you get such naturalistic acting out of these cats with such a script that could be so threadbare? Because it's not threadbare, obviously. Like, it's all in there.
Yeah.
But you have very talented people working on it, obviously, which is great. Like, how did you...
Well, that's how.
Was it? I mean, that's always the secret with any directing gig I've ever had. It's like, well, they were really good, so I didn't really have to push them that hard. But
no,
was there
a
lot of...
A little bit.
Was there a lot of, like, I guess kind of like swimming in these characters' pasts? Was there a lot of... Like, what was the rehearsal process like? How did you find the bottom under the water iceberg?
You know, I think we did. I think we just took our time.
Yeah.
I wasn't on any sort of agenda. I mean, we had 4 weeks of rehearsal, which is a luxury, I think. But I didn't have any sort of agenda. Like, all right, we got to get up and block this play. You know, blocking is not something that we were really interested in doing. I think that we just went line by line, and you know, part of Wheelhouse's, you know, process is to be obsessed with process, and we felt like this process was, we wanted this to be very, very open and very, very inclusive, and anytime anybody wanted to speak up or had a proposal about something or a thought about something, throw it out there in the room. Challenge what I'm saying, challenge what David's saying, challenge what Matt's saying, challenge what your fellow actor is saying, challenge, challenge, challenge. Because it's all in the interest of digging deeper in between the lines. So, you know, but there wasn't anything, you know, we did a few exercises up top to try and, like, break down any unfamiliarities between people, right? So we did some pretty vulnerable stuff, you know, a lot of tears, stuff like that. But just trying to get that sort of cohesive ensemble sense so that there's a lot of trust, right? Trust is a big one trust is a big one, and that's obviously one of the biggest advocates, one of the biggest positives, I guess, of ensemble, true ensembles, is that you just continually build on that trust, right? If you don't have, luckily most of these people know each other, but they hadn't always worked with each other. They haven't worked with each other. Some of them haven't worked
familiar,
with each
other. More familiar than knew each other. They aren't necessarily friends per se, but there was a familiarity.
Yeah. Oh, but they are now.
But they are now.
You know what? They're super
close. Really
now.
Close.
It's really interesting how well they've sort of gelled together. But so what we wanted to do at the top, you know, and this isn't rocket science. I think that everybody does this. You just want to get the actors so comfortable with each other, you know, because then that generates a sense of abandon out on the stage, right? Like you can get out there with a little bit more risk and know that if you fall, right, which is what you're risking, that person's going to be there to pick you up, you know. And so you get a little bit more out of them. They go a little deeper.
Yeah. I think they're more willing to go further with, like you were saying, how do you get this realism without the, you know? I think that. To the willingness for them with each other in the room to see the other people digging really deep and going really far and really pushing themselves and coming to realizations that there wasn't planned or anything makes everybody in the room want to do that even more and they have the willingness to dig deeper, which is important, I think.
This is not the first Wheelhouse Jam, right?
No.
Are there plans that you can discuss about what's next for the company? You talked a lot about the process. Any ideas about ensemble devised stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Just can you talk to me a little bit more about the company?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, our strategy right now is to discover who we are through the work, right? Like we had a really influential teacher at NYU. We were in the same class at NYU, David and I and Matt as well, who never like wanted to spend too much time talking, and he was like, let's put it in the work. And I think that is something that we strive for. We don't always succeed, you know? We end up talking sometimes, right? But hopefully one of the three of us catches the other two and is like, guys, we're just talking around it. Let's shut up and get into the work. And, you know, that's the nice part about having three instead of one. Keep each other honest. So I think that we are throwing projects against the wall. We're throwing them up. This is our fourth in less than a year, which is aggressive, you know, for a brand new company. And we're doing that because with each one we learn so much. We have these big postmortems after each show, the three of us do, and with the actors as well. And we're really just honing in on who we are rather than talking about it and saying, this is who we want to be, now let's do that. We're just throwing it against the wall and being like, how did that work? What did we like? What did we not like? And we're continuing to refine ourselves vis-a-vis the work. The other part of that is that we want to have, we want to have some content is such a boring word, but that's what we're trying to generate. We're trying to generate work and content
well,
so that,
like you said, though, like if you're doing it, if the way to find it is through the work, then you're going to produce content.
You're going to
work.
Exactly. So. Right. Exactly.
And we've done
right.
a variety of content too, right. I think, which is important. Right. We first two productions were. You know, Shakespeare's, there were, you know, six character, really stretching character work and having fun with that. And then the last two have been super modern, very, you know, much like Danny Crist, Donna Veronica, you know, by the same playwright as the last one, contemporary, which is just has different things. You learn something from this one that you can take to that one, and it's amazing how you can work and use that for the next thing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think we like to try to challenge ourselves in that way, too.
Yeah. So. And yes, I mean, coming out to answer the second part of your question, coming out of this show, I've been really hungry to devise something, you know. And we're having to start, you know, we've done everything kind of last minute the first year, right? Like scrambling to find a theater that had space. And then I'd book a theater with no show, and I'd be like, oh shit, we got to find a show, right? But like, that's just hungry to work. So we do that. We realize that it's probably best to plan a little bit ahead. It gives us more of an advantage, I think. So, you know, maybe a typical season I'm thinking could be that we devise a piece every year and we start with that. We start by devising it and then we do two or three shows in between each devising session so that our final show of the season is the devised piece. We take a year to create that. So, but I don't think we have any plans to narrow ourselves down into like strictly new work or... Exactly. You know, because we're all Shakespeare buffs too, and you know, we love the possibility and the language that he provides. I don't know. We were just looking at some Shaw the other day.
Sweet.
We really like, I mean, I think one thing we really like to do is trim, trim, trim. We like to get down to, like, what is the absolute essence of each play, each scene within the play. And so, in double up, triple up characters, and really come from a sense of personal joy, which is something that another guy, a guy by the name of David Costable, would really talk about. He's a fine actor, a great guy. He would say, find your personal joy, and we try and find that personal joy in every process and let that lead a little bit, a lot, a lot. So, yeah.
Nice. Speaking of joy, I really enjoyed this show.
Thank you.
So good. Thanks for having me, guys. Where can folks get more information about the show?
Folks can get all sorts of information about this show. You could go to our website, which needs a lot of work, so don't judge us based on the website.
Anybody wants to help us
if anybody wants to help us with that, we'd be happy to have it. But there's plenty of information on previous shows that we've done and this current show. You can get tickets on Brown Paper Tickets. You can get tickets on TDF. Or you can email wheelhousetheatercompany@gmail.com and let us know how many you want. And we'll work something out.
Web technical interns should apply too.
Absolutely.
Wheelhousetheater.com is the website. Yeah.
And check we're at the 4th Street
Wheelhouse Theater Company.
Oh, Wheelhouse
at
Theater.
Gmail.
No, yeah. But the website.
Oh, or the website. Sure.
Wheelhouse Theater.
See, this is what we need help with.
Between the two of us, we got it.
And you're at the 4th Street Theater through
January 28th.
Awesome.
So one more week. Come check it out. We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Thanks for doing this, guys.
Thank you.
Excellent. Nice stuff.
Thank you, Jeff and David, for hanging out to chat. You've got only two more chances from the posting of this episode to catch Danny, Chris, Donna, Veronica at the 4th Street Theater, 83 East 4th Street in Manhattan, Friday, January 27th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, January 28th at 3 p.m. Head to wheelhousetheater.com, and that's theater with an E-R, for a link to tickets and more information. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow @GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. Until next time, go see a show.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, man. You guys are great. Thank you.